Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, I love this series that Pastor Jay started last week. Everything changed. And so let's go ahead and we can start that. I have a PowerPoint today. And if you see me being a little bit nervous, it's because I'm not used to doing this, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. And so that means that I have to stick to my notes, which is, so pray for me, okay, in this. But so I wanted to begin today, everything changed. Today I want to talk about a new view, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look around for a second, and I want you to see somebody. Go ahead. I'm not going to give you any more instructions than that. I want you to see somebody. It's more than just looking over. It's over and see somebody. And, you know, sometimes if you look, and even me right now, you might see something different. I had a fight with another pair of clippers and lost again. I could have swore that I took the right clip. This is twice now. I think Karen might ban me from the clippers period, but I put it on and I looked at it and it looked right, but I didn't look really, really well because it's the one that goes for your ear, so it's on the sideways thing. And so I took one swipe and went, okay, so this part here was sort of higher and then this part was lower, and I didn't realize it until I was halfway through and I'm seeing all of this other stuff and it's like, wow, that's bad. And well, you know what? So then you go find the right one, and the right one is actually not doing anything because it's too big now. So you have to go down to the next one to even it all out. And so then by the time you're going, should I just sit? No, I shouldn't do that. So I was going to just shave it all off. It's important to me. Yeah, there we go. Wouldn't that be interesting? Okay, so it's important, though, that we realize that we need to be able to see. In this season right now, I believe that we need to have a new view. So I want you to grab your Bibles with me. And even though you'll see the scripture up here right now, I want you to grab your Bibles, though, and pull it out so you can see. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. And this is what it says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love. Isn't that amazing? Come on now. We are so grateful for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. And then this is the key from this morning, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now that's a whole lot of words. So what I want you to focus on right now is the middle section of that, where it says, if you're looking up here, by grace you have been saved. Now we've been looking at this. If you're not in a Thrive group yet, I really encourage you to talk to me to see. We definitely have room and we have a place for you if you want to get into the Thrive groups with us. This last month we talked about grace, and you know what? We could have probably been talking about grace for another 2 or 3 months, really. But we're trying to look at all of these different things. The next coming series is going to be about the love of God. And so we just went through the grace of God, and you see it here. By grace you have been saved. And then this amazing, amazing part to this verse. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. So the question that I would ask is this. What does it mean and what does it matter that we are seated in heavenly places? Why do I need to be seated in heavenly places? Sean, I'm going to ask you, okay, it doesn't really matter. If you could just grab me that chair right off the end there and just put it right up on there. I forgot to do it before I started. Why does it matter that we are seated in heavenly places? It matters because what we see affects us. Come on now, what we see affects us. You say, no. Listen, what we see, if we look around, if we're expecting thousands to come, if we hold a meeting and we're expecting thousands and we see 12 people, do you think that would affect us? That would affect you. If you were planning whatever it would be and there was no response, it affects you when you see these things. But here's the key, I believe, over this next season for us is knowing that everything changed. Again, I love this. Pastor Jay is going to be preaching on really looking into the next 2 weeks and following it up to Easter. But for me, it's about this new view. So I'm going to give you three things today, and I'm going to go through them just quickly here. This is why it matters that we are seated in heavenly places. First of all, it's a vision thing. It transforms what we see. We need to be seated in heavenly places because it transforms what we see. It's, you know, if you sit there and say, if you find yourself without vision, if you find yourself without purpose, the point is if we begin to say, okay, God, you know what? For some reason, I have gotten out of being seated with you and I have begun to focus like Peter then on all the winds and the waves. And that's my position, if you'd say. When I know that we are seated in heavenly places, we are seated not just on our own, we are seated with Christ, Scripture says, in heavenly places. We want to have vision for our lives. It's important to see things, write this down, to see things as God sees them. Because you're going to see them differently that they're right in front of your face. Oftentimes we'll be in situations. I had one recently, and unfortunately I failed. Anybody fail anything lately? I failed. I failed miserably at this. I had an opportunity to function from a seated position in the heavenlies, knowing that my God was with me, and I had even been basically been prepping this sermon, and I had been looking at it for a couple of weeks now and just sort of milling it over and going through it, and I had an opportunity to be tested, which meant not failure. He wasn't looking for me to fail. He was looking for me to succeed. He was with me in that moment, but I failed anyways, in the midst of it. This is what happened. A long story short, I switched phone companies. Probably all of you can just go, oh my, you didn't. So I switched phone companies because I thought it was going to work because blah, 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 blah. And I get this new phone and it's not really that great. And there's a whole lot of other things changed. And all of a sudden my phone rings and it's the old company telling me, you know that you have so many days that you can come back to us if you choose, and we're going to give you this and this and this and this. And this is the company that I just had spent over an hour and a half with previously, and they told me they could do nothing for me. And now all of a sudden, because I'd gone, they were like, come on back and we'll give you this, 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 the absolutely amazing deal. And I really wasn't going to do it at first. And then then something else went wrong with the phone and reception and everything else. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go back to this company. So I went, phone, and they happened to call me again. Who knew, eh? All of a sudden, this persistent person, she's like, we can do it now. And long story short, she set it up and she moved and she ported my number before she was supposed to. And by the time I got back to the store to return my phone, the lady looked at me and said, I'm sorry, but your phone has already been ported back to your other company and there's nothing you can do. You're going to get a $1,400 bill for that brand new iPhone 14 Plus. And apparently, my face was saying things. It was only my face, brother, okay, in there. My mind was saying a lot of other things. My face apparently was saying things too. And the young lady looks at me and the other gentleman that's over there, she goes, she was not supposed to do that until you came back here first, and so you're not going to get this. And then we can't do anything for you. We're going to have to. And it was all just like, you have got to be kidding me. So I immediately began to function like one who has no help. Began to panic, apparently on my face, because the gentleman that was behind is looking at me going, it's gonna be okay. I had already done that. So I had done that previously. We were talking and everything else. And he's looking at me and he's like, I think he may have thought I was going to implode or explode or something. It's gonna be okay. He's See, I began to function like I had no help. Where does my help come from? My help's come from the Lord. Even in those situations, see, I don't believe that I'm on my own, but apparently that day I did. I began to function like I was by myself. I began to, instead of being seated in heavenly places and knowing, I'm not talking about something where I make mistakes and I don't want to pay that mistake. I am willing, if I have done something wrong, to pay that mistake. But this was nothing to do with me in that sense. And so my expectation, though, went from, because when somebody tells you you're going to have a $1,400 bill and there's nothing, and she's looking at and telling you stories of two other people that have already had this happen, your face apparently says all kinds of things. And in that moment, he looks at me and I realize, hang on a second, I have just walked out of that seat. I have begun to believe that nobody is with me and that I'm on my own. See, it's a vision thing where it begins to be something where we transform. The second one is this, it's a family thing. When we begin to see a new view and when we're seated in heavenly places, and we're gonna go through this in a little bit more specifics right now, but it transforms what we feel and how we think. The third one is this, it's an authority thing. It transforms what we do and how we do it. So I know that I thought this was going to be larger that you'd be able to read it, but it's quite small to be able to read. But if I look at it, if I go back then and I see that we start with, it's a vision thing and it transforms what we see. See, when God began to do these things and we have an encounter with a loving Father, when we have an encounter with Jesus, what he did for us was he gave us a view. Many, many people, I am shocked at how many people have a vision of God as an angry man just waiting to crush you with a hammer the minute you make a mistake. This is the, there is more that has this view of God than the other way. In fact, when I talk to people with this view, I forget that it's there because it's been so long since I thought that particular way. But it's true in the sense that when we think that he is a loving father, he is in fact a prodigal father. Now you may know, Luke, the story about the fact of the prodigal son. But truly, as I've said before, it is about a prodigal father, a one who lavishes us with his blessing. That son did not deserve what he received, but he received the lavish blessings of God. See, when we begin to truly function the way God wants us to function, we begin to see the Heavenly Father as for us. That he is for us. Let me go, oh, sorry, hang on a second. I'm moving all over the place. Romans chapter 8 and 31 says this. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, what's the rest? Who can be against us? I'm telling you, write that scripture down in front of yourself because you're going to memorize it. Because in those situations, like for me, and I'm just talking about a funny thing with my phone, but there's all kinds of situations where we begin to think we're on our own. It's just me. I'm in the midst of this. And even if we make a mistake, even if we mess up, do you have any idea how many times I've messed up? Have you ever done something dumb before? Okay, just a few of us apparently in this. But I've done something so dumb and then went, oh, again. And I put myself in a situation and what do? I immediately start beating myself up, right? And I immediately start to go towards the fact that I have a God that's not interested because I messed up again. But that's not who he is. He is, according to Romans 8:31, that he is for me. And if he's for me, who can be against me? I love what Psalm 56:9 says in the ESV. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. In other words, when I call on God, look out. That's basically what David's saying in this. This I know, this confident knowledge, this I know that God is for me. This is what began to happen. This is where we began to approach. This is what began to change when Jesus died in our place, died for us. When we died with him in this moment, we began to see God the Father in a different way. We then begin to understand, we look in Jesus, our high priest who became sin for us. I'm gonna try to go through this and I want to look at a few of these things. And you have to do something with me today. Some of you may go, I have seen this before so many times. Embrace it like it's the first time you've seen it again. Let's do that together, okay? Because I know that many of us will have seen this. But we talk about what the great exchange is. His righteousness for our sin. Through this exchange, the Lord becomes our righteousness. So here's the thing. When you see yourself as righteous, things change. When you see yourself as righteous, nobody can move you out of the presence of God. When you see yourself as righteous, not because of the great things that I have done, not because I was really perfect this week, not because I read my Bible every day this week, but because of what he has done for me, that nobody can move me out of the presence of God. I have this connection, this relationship with God because not of who I am, but because of who he is. Isaiah 61 and 10 declares it this way. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has covered me with a robe of righteousness. The second thing here in this great exchange is Jesus gave us forgiveness and justification for our condemnation. See, through this exchange, the Lord became our peace. The minute I realize that I've lost my peace is when I realize that once again I've come under condemnation. It's something that I'm trying to learn quickly. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the minute I lose my peace with something, it's the matter that I have again, once again, come under condemnation. I think I'm on my own with this again, and I lose my peace. But in those moments, it's that recognition that, hang on a second, God has justified me. He has forgiven me. Look at what Isaiah 53 and 5 declares. But he was wounded for our transgressions. I love this version, he was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, and our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. This is my Jesus, and this is what he's done for me. The great exchange as well is this, that Jesus exchanged the security of his kingdom for our rejection. Do you know that in the body of Christ, there's no place for rejection? You might say, hang on a second, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. I do understand, because at times I really struggle with it. When I say there's no place, it means that it should not happen. Doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. In this moment, that Jesus is my security. I am secure. Say it with me. I am secure. See, I am secure in him. I have received his security. When you see yourself as secure, things change. See, when you see yourself that nobody can pull you out of sonship or daughter of God, then things begin to change. Look at what 1 Peter 2 and 25 declares, for you were continually wandering like many sheep, but you now have come back to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. I love this one. Christ's exchange gives us his blessings instead of his curses. In other words, life, as Pastor Gary was even talking about, in place of death. Through this exchange, the Lord becomes our victory in everything. When you see yourself as blessed, things change. Do you know that there's, and you might say, well, are you just talking about semantics? We're just supposed to think this way. Do you know that the way that you think affects how people see you and how they work with you and how they respond to you? If you see yourself as a victim, others will treat you as a victim. Now, I'm not talking about that there's things that we have to work out and there's bad things that have happened. I have had to go for much counseling on different things in my life to get that out. Not so that I could make it a treasure, but that I could get it out. But in this, if I begin to function as one who is insecure all the time, others will move away from me. Come on now, grab a hold of this. In the body of Christ, security is not arrogance. Security is not the absence of humility. Humility knows that I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but it knows this. It knows that because of who my God is, that I'm always accepted with him. Therefore, I believe that I'm accepted everywhere that I go, even if I'm not. I position myself that I don't need your security to be secure in him. Come on, now, I tell you, I wish that I wish I had that one down completely. I wish that was just like, bam, hard, solid rock. But all of a sudden, these things happen, and I find myself shifting at times, and we'll get into that a little bit later on, but into an orphan mentality. And we want to just stay away from that. I love Galatians 3, 13 to 14. It declares this: Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says, in order that Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, sorry, that through Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might also come on the Gentiles, so that we would all receive the realization of the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, you might say, that's a whole lot of words, Pastor Rod. Because of what Jesus did to us, and because he took our death, we are now free in him to walk with him in everything in life, to see that realization of being grafted in. I love this one. Christ exchanged a new man for the penalty of the old man deserved. Through this exchange, the Lord is my sanctifier. See, when we see ourselves as a new creation, do you know what? The Bible can be confusing at times. And everybody goes, oh, did Pastor Rod just say that? It can be, because it tells me I'm a new creation at the moment I accept Jesus. And yet I still don't do everything I'm supposed to do. Or I don't do it ever really good. Or I fail. See, I have to start thinking positionally. God has positioned me as a son and daughter of God. I don't have to be perfect. I have to have his perfection. Come on, you got to grab that. I don't have to be perfect. I have to grab a hold of his perfection. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith and as a savior, he is a new creature. Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Give you this one. Christ exchanged his acceptance for our rejection, giving us dignity for shame. Do you know that shame is a game that you never win with? Never win with. Whether we give it to somebody else or whether we receive it ourselves, you never win with shame. But Jesus took all of this rejection and gave us his acceptance with the Father, that we have this relationship with him that is overwhelming in his presence. When you see yourself as accepted, things change. You start to act and think differently. I love Isaiah 61 and 3. It says this: to give them beauty for ashes. Anybody got any ashes? I got some ashes. I have got some big piles of ashes in some places. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what Pastor Jay was trying to encourage us with this morning, that in the midst of that heaviness, that the garment of praise moves us out from under shame and guilt. There's a lot of these, and I'll just try to do these a little bit quicker. But Christ exchanged his divine health for our sickness. Now, he became sickness. And you say, well, was he sick? No, he was not sick in himself. But he took upon himself sickness. He took upon himself the shame. He took all of this upon himself when he died on the cross, so that we can walk in divine health. See, it's another situation. What I'm saying, see how easy it would be? Watch. If you've never had the fact of somebody that's been sick and you've been believing for a miracle and seen a negative result, then this is probably, maybe this has never happened to you. But when I'm sitting here in heavenly places, I am able to declare by the Spirit, and I don't let what I'm seeing in the natural get in the way. Do you know what I'm saying? I have got right now family members that we're believing for. But when I see a negative thing happen, man, it's hard. Not for anybody else, just for me. It's hard. In fact, the winds and the waves, they want to come up and swallow me in the midst of those things. And what I do is I go, well, maybe I don't belong in that seat anymore. And I've got to get down here and fight now. I've got to fight now. Instead of being in this position with Christ and allowing his fight, his already done fight, to be my fight. It's not allowing him to fight for me because he doesn't fight anymore. He intercedes with the Father, but the fight is done. Come on, you gotta grab that. The fight is already finished, it's done. I am not asking him to fight for me. I am stepping into his finished work. It is done. This is what it is in there. And when I start to have fear and doubt and all of these things, they don't come over here in a portion, in like a teaspoon. Have you ever noticed that? Fear and doubt is just not like, okay, so here you go. Let's do a little bit of sprinkling of fear and doubt. It's like the ceiling comes in on you. Only me? It's like, poof. And you feel like you've got, it's like you're trying to get out from underneath at times, and that's where we need each other to come by. But my position, what I do is I recognize that, man alive, I am no longer seated in heavenly places with him. Now, nobody can take my seat, but I can get up out of it and function like I don't belong there anymore. See, in this moment here that I see that Christ exchanged, I got to move on. Christ exchanged his prosperity for our poverty. Through this exchange, the Lord is our provider. When you see yourself as prosperous for his glory, things begin to change. When I see difficulty begin to happen, has anybody ever had problems in their finances? Okay, yeah, I think everybody's hand be up or else we're going to have counseling for that later. So the idea in this, you may not have difficult, massive difficulties, but everybody's difficulties is in proportion to where they are. But in those moments, the realization is that I am, listen, in Christ for his glory, I can expect him to help me in those situations. If you think finances are something that God's not interested in, then you have not read the Bible. I'm telling you, God is interested in being in the middle of your finances with you. He is interested in speaking to you. He is interested in walking with you. This is not, okay, so this part I'm on my own, I got to figure it out. No, God is with you in every single portion of your life. I would go here and once again, Pastor Jay, I think I've prepared about 6 weeks worth of stuff, and so I apologize for that. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to get one thing here today. It's a vision thing, okay? This is funny. Okay, so here's the question I have for you to ponder, and maybe you can't even see it up there, so I'll say it. Here's the question. Do you have big mountains or a big God? See, the question is if you have big mountains, you don't have a big God. You say, whoa, Pastor Roddy, you're saying I'm not supposed to have big mountains? I have huge mountains in their natural state. But when I am seated in heavenly places with him, they are minuscule. They're still big, they're still in my life, and they're still want to act like they're going to crush me. You see, I got to have either one or the other. I've either got to have a God that is huge, or I have mountains that are too big for him. Right? There's only one way that can be. So if you have a big mountain, you don't have a big God. And it sounds so harsh to say it that way. But when you have a great big God, you have small mountains. So this is my phrase. One day I was out in my workshop and I was making, this was quite a few years ago, and I was making these little things that I started making for wall art. And it was mountain scenes. And I felt like the Lord gave me this phrase. And it began to be, tell your mountains about your God. See, it's not that I can't share, because look at what Matthew 17:20 says first. He replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, I got at least that much, right? Come on now, small mustard seed faith, at least I got that much. I'm ready. And it says, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And so for me in my life, I have not always done this well, but I have tried to make sure that I don't, I go to my God and talk about things all the time. I share my difficulties with him. I share the problems with him. Do not misunderstand that I'm telling you, you can't pray about these things and ask God. But what I'm starting to spend more time is to declare to the mountains that are in my way to get out of my way in Jesus' name, to move in Jesus' name. Because I'm starting to recognize again that once I'm seated in heavenly places with him, when I speak as a son of God. I speak, it says here, if your God always is for you, that's another question, sorry. Is your God always for you or only when you get it right? Come on now. Most of us won't admit to that. We're like, nah, it ain't me. But listen, when we don't get it right, when we mess up, we wonder then whether God is for us. And our God is for us even when we don't get it right. The last thing there says this. Does your God have his best in your hands for you? Or do you need to do this all by yourself? I think we know the answer. It's actually found in Ephesians again 2, verses 6 to 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show, look, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You don't have to do this by yourself. Man, if you feel like you're just alone right now, you're in the midst of all of this, you don't have to do this by yourself. The Father is with you. You say, Pastor Rod, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how many times I've doubted or if I get angry or frustrated. You don't know what I've said. You don't know how many times I've yelled at God. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. And the reason that he caused us, God the Father did, when Jesus died for us, that we would be seated with him, is that we could see with a different view. Stand with me this morning. I love this series that Pastor Jay has been doing with Everything Changed. But I would ask you this right now. Just close your eyes, just bow your heads just for a second. And maybe you've been struggling where you've been, you know what, my mountains have become bigger than my God. Is there anybody that can come back to the piano just for a second? That my mountains have become bigger than my God. And Lord, I want to come to you right now. I want to come to you in repentance, Lord, and say that, God, I've not been functioning from a different view. I've not been functioning from a seated in the heavenlies with you view. But that I have been functioning like nobody's with me and nobody's for me. I have been functioning like I've had to do this all on my own and I don't belong. And yet, Jesus, everything you've done for me is that I am a son and you might be a daughter of the living God. That I am co-heirs with him. You see, when a slave speaks, nobody listens. But when a son, when a prince or a princess, a son or daughter of the living God speaks, all creation listens. The authority that we walk into, when Jesus seated us with him in heavenly places. It's not impossible, but it's pretty hard to be stressed out and stirred up when you're seated. People often get up and they pace around. But we were meant to be seated with him. So if you've been struggling with this today, I just want you to reach out to him right now where you are. To be seated with you in the heavenlies again. I want to see things like you see them. I want to walk with you with my finances. I want to talk with you of all the things that are going on. I want to be able to, Lord, like once again, choose to speak to those mountains, and they must move because I am a child of the living God, that I am co-heirs with Christ. And those mountains have got to move. And Lord, from this view, I stop being one who's stuck in what I can only see right in front of me. But I become this son and daughter who can see what you're doing so very far away. That even in the midst of our church right now, in the place that we find ourselves in, that when I'm seated in heavenly places, that I begin to look over and I see that God beginning to work and what he has planned and what he has in store for Antioch and for all the things that he wants to do. And my jaw just drops, Lord, when I see. And then when I get off of that place seated with you, I begin to focus on all these other things that are around me. And I got to go back up and I got to sit back with you again and say, Lord, you have such a better view. Forgive me again, Lord. I am seated in heavenly places with you. So I encourage you right now today to give yourself to him fully, to walk away from the shame and the guilt of messing up, of not believing, of being frustrated. And I want you to see yourself as a son or a daughter of the living God. One that when you speak, all creation listens, and every mountain that is in your way will move. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.